Amen. Okay, so we're coming this morning to session one. Hallelujah. The first line. How about we all turn to there and we all read the title or the series. Ready? Go.
A new spirit.
One more time.
A new spirit.
Amen. So I don't know about you, but I was looking at last year's college training. And last year's college training's message was on exercising the spirit for the enjoyment of God.
Amen.
And I don't know if you had the thought, man, they're covering the spirit again? Amen.
Yeah.
Did you guys have that thought? And it's kind of, I was thinking, you know, it's kind of like when your mom tells you, you should clean your room. And you say, okay, mom. And then your mom tells you, you should clean your room. You say, okay, mom, I'll clean my room. You should clean your room. And then, did you actually clean your room? A lot of times we don't, right? And so it's good to hear these kind of words concerning the Spirit again and again, because we may have heard about the Spirit, but sometimes our hearing is very passive, and we actually don't use our spirit, or we don't exercise our spirit. So anyways, I hope we can all have a fresh appreciation of our spirit.
Amen.
And then the second point, the reason why we're covering the spirit is because of its title. Let's read the title together.
Right.
A new spirit.
And then the message one. Amen. The human spirit fulfills God's purpose.
Amen.
Think about it.
Wow.
The human spirit fulfills God's purpose.
Amen.
And it's extremely important.
Yeah.
This word important means vital, critical. So the spirit is critical in God's purpose. And so it would make sense to define what is God's purpose. What are we talking about when we're talking about God's purpose? It's good to have a definition. Okay, and one example I was considering, does anyone know Stephen Poplawski? Who Stephen Poplawski is? Stephen Poplawski? Okay, well, Stephen Poplawski, he invented the blender. He created the blender. Okay, and so in looking at creation or his creation or invention, you can see purpose, right? Stephen, he must have had a purpose. He probably wanted, you know, he was tired of drinks with just ice cubes in them. And so he wanted to create something, or in his creation, he wanted a blended drink. I don't know, a blended drink. And so you can see this matter of purpose in creation.
Yeah.
And it's the same with God. So if you want to know the purpose of God, you have to go to creation.
Yeah.
And the center of God's creation is what? Is who?
Man.
Is man. And in Genesis 1:26, God created man in his image and likeness. And he wanted man to have dominion, right, over the earth. And so in looking at Genesis 1:26, you really can pick up two things related to God's purpose. And that is that God wants man to express him, and God wants man to represent him.
Amen.
You guys should all write down that purpose, that definition of God's purpose. God's purpose is that man would express him, and man would represent him.
Amen.
Okay? Are we all clear? What we're talking about, God's purpose. So actually, our human spirit fulfills that purpose.
Amen.
Concerning God's expression and representing God.
Amen.
And when you look at creation, there's another thing that you can see. How something is created determines how it's going to fulfill the purpose, right? And so with this example of the blender, you know, if I'm going to create a blender, if you look at the blender, how it's made is going to fulfill its purpose. You know, you have blades, you have a cap on top to make sure that, you know, the things don't fly away. You have a button that says on, you know, so people know, like, oh, I should hit this button. And so how the blender is created shows how God is, or sorry, how how Stephen Popowski is going to fulfill his purpose, right? How the blender is created. So in the same way, how man is created, that is how God is going to fulfill his purpose. And let's read Roman numeral 1. Roman numeral 1. All together. Ready? Go.
The first step of God's procedure in fulfilling his purpose was to create man as a vessel to contain himself as life.
So how is man created? It's in the... It's not a trick question. As a vessel! So man was created as a vessel to contain God as life. And actually, this fulfills his purpose of expression and representing God. And so there's a little example, you know. Maybe I can call Daniel. Here, come on. He's right in front of me. So if I tell Daniel, I want you to express a dog. Go. Express a dog. Again, some more. Yeah. Okay, so that's good. Okay. So Daniel, he's trying to, how good was that expression? Probably like D plus for dog? No.
That's terrible.
Okay, so I want him to express a dog, but really what he's doing is he's just imitating a dog, right? He's trying to imitate a dog's bark, you know, maybe if he was doing a little bit more serious, go on the floor, you know. So that was imitation. If I really want Daniel to express a dog, I have to give him the life of a dog, right?
Yeah.
And so if Daniel has a dog's life, all he has to do is just, you know, receive that life and then expression of a dog. Okay, good. Okay, so today a lot of Christians, you know, they're talking about, oh yeah, we're here to express God. But maybe in our experience, when we want to express God, we pick up things in the Bible, like maybe ethics, you know, what would Jesus do? And we just kind of try to live by imitation.
Yeah.
Imitation. We're not here to imitate God, okay?
Yeah.
We're here to receive God's life.
Amen.
Isn't it be good? We're here. That's the focus. The focus is that we would receive God as life. And we're a vessel. We were made in this way to receive God's life. Okay? And so I have another illustration, and it's related to this word, vessel. You know, I borrowed this person. This is Maritha over there. This is Maritha's water bottle. Okay, this is a vessel, okay? In this example. So this water bottle belongs to Maritha. Okay? What if I took her water bottle and I filled it with Gorilla Glue? And I closed it shut. And right now it's empty, right? So I take Gorilla Glue and I seal it up, cover all the openings. And then I give it back to Maritha. How do you think Maritha would feel that now her water bottle is completely closed? She wouldn't have a good feeling, right? Concerning, or she really, you know. If the vessel is closed, you know, it can't use it anymore. It's and so Maritha will probably be really, really sad. And so that's actually the same way that God feels. You know, we're vessels. But sometimes in our experience, we place Gorilla Glue on ourselves and we're not so open to the Lord. We're not so open to the Lord. And that makes God feel sad, right? And so, oh Lord,
amen.
I hope in our prayer this week, we tell the Lord, Lord, remove all the blockages,
amen.
Anything that's closed, right? You know, the Lord maybe we're closed concerning a relationship that we have, or maybe we're closed concerning our future. That's a big one in college students. You know, I noticed in the Northeast, a lot of students, they're very ambitious, and so they have a set track that they're going, and they're not open to the Lord concerning their future. Or maybe we're closed, you know, concerning something that we're struggling with concerning the world, and we know something that we really enjoy doing, but the Lord, and we know, you know, the Lord knows, I think we all know what parts of our being are closed off to the Lord. And even in preparing this, the Lord touched me that there are still things that even I myself am still closed. But what do we do in those situations? I just appreciated afresh, we can just pray to the Lord in a genuine way. You just say, Lord, you know my heart. You know this area of my heart that's still close to you, but Lord, I want to be open. Amen. Lord, I want to be open.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on me, right? Amen. Lord, keep working in me so that eventually this part of my heart could be open to you. Actually, praying that kind of prayer in itself is a little opening.
Yeah.
When you pray, if you never pray that, the Lord can't do anything. But if you just would be honest with the Lord and just say, Lord, I still love that thing, but Lord, I want to learn to open that part of my heart. Okay, so that's the first point concerning a vessel, is that the vessel needs to be open. When I asked Maritha if I could use her water bottle, she's like, oh, are you sure it doesn't close? And this part doesn't. And I was like, amen! The water bottle doesn't close, you know? Oh, Lord, keep the vessel open.
Amen.
If God, listen to this sentence, or if God has an open vessel, he can fulfill his purpose. But if the vessel is closed, God's purpose is frustrated. Oh, Lord, we need to have an open vessel. And the second point concerning a vessel is, you know, once it's open, it needs to come to the fountain.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And nowadays, at least at Boston University, you know, there's these fountains. Does anyone know what reverse osmosis water filtration is? Or is that what it is? What is it called? Double reverse. I don't know. Reverse osmosis fountain. Okay. This is an awesome picture. I was just thinking about it. This fountain. You know, okay, just pretend there's like, do you guys know what I'm talking about? Who knows what I'm talking about? The reverse osmosis? No? Okay, it's basically this machine, and then you just put your water bottle there, and then it just like shoots water. It just like shoots water down. You don't need to push a button. You don't do anything. You know, back in the old school days, I mean, I'm not that old, but you had those fountains where you had to like lean over and like hit the button, and then when you hit it, you kind of had to like tilt your water bottle, and then you're trying to fill it up to the brim, but then it only goes up to like halfway. Bring it up, and then it's like only halfway. Okay, well, that's not the situation today. Today we have the reverse osmosis machine. Basically, what you do is you just put the water bottle there, and then whoosh. Okay, so the second point is we need to stay under the shh. Sometimes in our experience, you know, we may get to the Lord. Like this morning, I don't know if you got to the Lord, you just went there, and then, oh, filled it up only this much. 2 inches. How does that make you feel if you go about your day, you're about to start a long day, and then, oh, like you go to the water bottle, and it's like 1 inch. You know, just, oh, okay, that's enough. No! How about we all say, no!
No!
Okay, so in our time, and we're all learning this, in our time with the Lord, we have to learn to open, stay there, and get filled.
Amen.
Okay, imagine if I just left that water bottle there at that machine for 10 minutes, what would happen? Yeah, after probably 10 seconds, it's like, I mean, not we need to spend longer than 10 seconds for the Lord, but the picture is you just stay there, and the water just keeps coming. Right. Keeps coming, fill, and then 5 minutes, it's still coming out. It's still overflowing, right? And so the second point related to this vessel is first, it needs to be open. The second is, oh, we need to be filled up. Amen. The vessel needs to be filled to the brim. Amen. Okay? And then the last point is we need to be filled with, it's kind of simple, but we need to learn to be filled with water. Amen. You know, you don't put, if I put, you know, some people are very particular about the water bottle. Imagine if I put like acai bowl smoothie. You guys know what that is? Like a smoothie or like coffee in your water bottle. It's like, oh no, don't do that. Don't put coffee in the water bottle. And so, and you know, these things are good. Coffee is good, you know, it tastes good. Smoothies are good, they're healthy. And so in our experience, these can be likened to maybe a lot of times when we come to the Lord, we pick up good things. We want to receive something good. Maybe we want just an answer. Like, Lord, I just want an answer. Or maybe I just want victory. I just want victory when I come to the, like, I just don't want to have to fail regarding that anymore. So I just want victory. Fill me with this good thing. Fill me with that good thing. Or maybe we just want knowledge from the Word. We want Scripture. Man, I wish I could just memorize my verses. Lord, give me wisdom. So I could just memorize my verses. I'm so stressed out. These brothers. No. We need to learn to get water. Amen. The water is the Spirit. So in our time with the Lord, do you know how to get God Himself? Amen. We're here for God Himself. Amen. We want our vessel to be filled with God Himself. Amen. So how about we read Roman numeral 1 again together? You ready? Go.
The first step of God's procedure in fulfilling His purpose was to create man as a vessel to contain Himself as life.
Hallelujah. How about we read the last part again? The part's really enjoyable. His purpose, starting from in fulfilling His purpose.
In fulfilling His purpose was to create man as a vessel to contain Himself as life.
Hallelujah. Okay, so far we've covered the what and the first how. So the first, the what is God's purpose? The first how does God fulfill His purpose? That's by creating man as a vessel to contain him as life. And then the third how, or the second how, is how does man receive God as life? And this is where we come to the matter of the Spirit. How about we read Roman numeral 2 together? Ready? Go. Jehovah
God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Okay, so in man's creation, Jehovah God, He formed man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And it's very important to see, okay, so you need to underline dust, breath of life, and living soul or soul. So maybe there's no pen up here. But that refers to the body, the soul, and the spirit. Well, how is the breath of life the spirit? Well, you have to go to Proverbs 20:27, where it says that the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. And that word spirit is neshama in Hebrew, okay? That word spirit is neshama in Hebrew. And when you look at Genesis 2:7, breath, that word breath in the breath of life, that phrase, is neshama. Okay, so I'm going to read the verse again. So Jehovah God, He formed man from the dust of the ground, right. That's man's body. And then he breathed the breath of life, or he breathed the spirit, the human spirit, into his nostrils. Mm-hmm. And so now this dust, there's the breath of life in there, which is the spirit, neshama. And then man became a living soul. So you have three parts in the creation of man. You have the body, you have the soul, and then you have the spirit.
Amen.
Okay, let's read point A together.
Man
go.
Man's body, born from the dust of the ground, is man's outward form and an organ for him to contact the material realm.
Amen. So you need to remember, all the brothers who like to exercise, your body is just dust. Wesley likes to exercise. Anyways, our body is just dust. I think if you were to break down the human body and to sell it on eBay, the materials go for $8. So our body is dust, okay? So obviously, because our body is dust, it's not meant to contact God. But actually, one thing that I appreciated is that our body helps us for our spirit.
Right.
Imagine if you didn't have, you know, hands to read the word, or you didn't have a mouth to sing to the Lord, right? It'd be very difficult to touch the Lord in your spirit. But our body is created even to help in our exercise of the spirit. Okay, and then point B. Let's read point B together. Amen.
The soul, composed of man's mind, emotion, and will, has the psychological consciousness to contact the psychological realm.
Amen. So this matter of the soul, I think, will be covered a lot in the evening lines. Actually, our heart includes our soul. You know, when we're talking about having a new heart, dealing with our heart, it's referring to our soul. And so actually, our soul can affect, you know, like Brother Dennis mentioned, our soul can affect our using of our spirit, our contacting the spirit. So we need to take care of our soul.
Yeah.
But the soul is not the organ created by God to contact God himself and to receive God as life. Okay, let's read point C.
Man's spirit.
The breath of life.
Is his inward organ for him to contact God, receive God, and gain God. Assimilate God into his entire being, his life, and his everything.
Man's spirit,
amen,
is his inward organ for him to contact God, receive God, contain God, and assimilate God into his entire being. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah for our spirit. And,
amen.
You know, we'll read the verses or the points after, and then I'll end, but maybe I can use this analogy, and then I'll stop. You know, it's kind of like a radio receiver, okay? Our spirit is kind of like a radio receiver. And so, how do you know that there are radio waves? You know, I think Brother Dennis last year talked about, there's music in this room.
Yeah.
There's music in this room. And you're like, what? What do you mean there's music in this room? Well, there's radio waves everywhere. And so, God is spirit, right? God is everywhere. But how do I know that the radio waves exist? Or how can I contact the radio waves? Well, you need a radio receiver. Oh, it's falling. It's okay. We need a radio receiver. And so, the radio receiver was created in such a way where it's, you know, a radio receiver doesn't pick up the wavelengths of television, right? Because the radio waves is a certain length in wavelength. It's just a certain length, and so the receiver has to be something very similar that is able to pick up the radio waves, right?
Yeah.
And so that's exactly, you know, our spirit came from God.
Amen.
That was the breath of God.
Amen.
And so our spirit is something very close to God the Spirit.
Amen.
And so our spirit is like a radio receiver. And it's really helpful because this whole line in this morning session, the next two sessions are about having a proper spirit. I think being poor in spirit. Sometimes our radio receiver is not in tune. It's a little bit damaged. Or, you know, it needs some tuning. And so the next two messages, sometimes maybe we're not able to contact God because we don't have the proper, it's not, the receiver needs some tuning, right? And so that's the next few messages. But then in the following message, it could be tuned, it can be right, but in the end, what needs to happen? You need to use it.
Amen.
Oh, we need to use the radio receiver.
Amen.
And so the message is exercising the Spirit, walking by the Spirit.
Amen.
That will help us. How do I use my Spirit?
Amen.
How do I contact God with my Spirit?
Amen.
Okay, so how about we just read? We'll just read through 1 through 5, and then Ethan will come up and give the rest.
The word read in Genesis 2:7, the Hebrew Neshama, is translated Spirit in Proverbs 20:27, indicating that the breath of life breathed into man's body became the spirit of man, the human spirit. The breath of life breathed into man's nostrils was not the eternal life of God, nor the spirit of God. Man did not receive the spirit of God until the Lord breathed the Holy Spirit into his disciples on the day of his resurrection. Nevertheless, because the human spirit came out of God's breath of life, it is very close to the spirit of God. Thus, there can be a transmission between God's spirit and man's spirit, and the human spirit is able to contact God and be one with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Says, hallelujah, there can be a transmission between God the Spirit and man's spirit.
Amen.
And the human spirit is able to contact God and be one with God.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah for the human spirit.
Amen.
Okay, so my half of the outline, let's recite together one of the memory verses from yesterday, Zechariah 12:1. Everybody's got it, right?
Right?
The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel.
Thus says Jehovah,
that's it,
who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him.
I love this verse. The first time I heard this verse, I was like, what is this talking about? The burden of the word of Jehovah? I was like, I don't know what the burden of the word of Jehovah is. But then I was pray-reading this verse before, preparing for this message.
Amen.
And it says, the burden of the word of Jehovah.
Amen.
Concerning Israel.
Amen.
You guys are Israel. You are God's people.
Amen.
So the Bible, all these things, this is the burden of the word of Jehovah. This is God's burden concerning us. And then he says right after that, he says, thus declares Jehovah, right, who stretches forth the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and created the sun. What does it say? Forms of man within him. So it doesn't talk about the sun. You know, the sun is actually, it's kind of a small star, right? It's not even like the biggest star. It's pretty small, right? But it's huge. It's huge compared to us. But the Lord doesn't talk about that at all in his word. He talks about these three items. So let's read Roman numeral 3 together. Man's spirit, specifically formed by God, and is ranked in importance with the heavens and the earth in God's holy word. Okay, so I'm going to go back to what Alan said at the last there. This matter of the receiver. This matter of man's spirit is the most important part of man. And even this is the center of God's creation. This matter is actually, this is the strategic point of God's creation. So if we miss this matter of the human spirit, we miss the mark. So even our whole entire life, we have to realize, I have a human spirit.
Amen.
So it's good we're here. We realize, okay, we're hearing about this matter of the spirit. Maybe this is the first time for you to hear about your human spirit. I won't make you raise your hand. But in my experience, you know, I was raised in a denomination, and then we changed to another denomination, and went to this church as a Baptist denomination. And that was where I got saved. Hallelujah, I got saved.
Amen.
But I had no idea what happened to me. I just know something happened. Something changed. God came into me. I didn't even know that much. Something happened. But then later I went to college, and then I talked to these people, and they told me I had a spirit. I was like, okay. And it was, you know, I heard it. And little by little, I became more impressed. It's like, okay, I have a spirit. It's not my soul. Right? It's good we can be clear from these points, especially in the creation of man. Man is made with three parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And we realize the soul is not the spirit. We have Hebrews 4:12, right? And then also 1 Thessalonians 5:23 shows us clearly we're made out of three parts. Okay, so this matter of our human spirit is very particular to God. Okay, let's read A and B together. In his creation, God made three crucial, equally important items: the heavens, the earth, and the spirit of man. Then B, the heavens are for the earth is for man, and man was created by God with a spirit that he may contact God,
receive God,
worship God, live God, fulfill God's purpose for God, and be one with God. This is awesome. So there's this little booklet I read. It's called There Is God. Amen. Have you ever read that booklet?
Amen.
Yeah, you could read that with your friends. It's very impressive, especially for an unbeliever. It gets into this matter of the universe. Talks about some details of the universe. It talks about how the universe, in our galaxy alone, it says there are over 100 billion stars. Right? We're talking about the sun is a star. It's 100 billion of those in our galaxy. And then potentially there's over a billion galaxies in the universe. So there are billions of stars. I'm impressed, right? Okay, that's the first thing. God stretches forth the heavens and everything in it. And then it says he lays the foundation of the earth. The earth is hurtling through space like 67,000 miles an hour. And then it's rotating. And then it's rotating around the sun. Right? This is amazing, right? And even I was more impressed. It's like, it's rotating on an axis. And because of that axis, we have seasons. Like, that blew my mind. I didn't realize that. That's why we have seasons, because it's on axis. Okay, but then God talks about forming the spirit of man within him. I mean, I'm impressed with the universe. I'm impressed with the earth. But I wasn't so impressed with my spirit. Then I read this portion in the ministry. It says that when God breathed the breath of life into man, we realize from this verse, he formed the spirit of man within him. So that breath of life that God breathed into man, that was material. That was the highest material that God used in his creation. Right? He formed man's body from the dust. $8 worth of dust. Right? But then he breathed into man the most precious material in his creation. You know, when I was shopping for rings for my wife, and I was like, oh, I'm going to spend like $200. I'm going to get away real easy. Don't worry, I spent like 6 months looking for a ring, and I found like, okay, I got to spend more money than that. You know, you have these like silver-plated things or plated this or plated that, and then you realize, okay, that's going to wear out. Hallelujah, our spirit is the most precious material that God uses in his creation.
Amen.
And then even it was after man's spirit entered into man's body that man became a living soul, right? When God created all the things on the earth, they're all these animals. But God doesn't really talk much about how he created the animals, right? They just came, and then we realize in Job 12 that all living things that have a soul. I mean, you have people have dogs and cats. Your animals, they have a soul, They get sad, they get happy, they get excited, all these things. But they don't have a spirit.
Amen.
I was impressed. Actually, our person, which is our very soul, right? It only came into being once God breathed into man the breath of life.
Amen.
So our person is critically related to our spirit. Okay.
Amen.
In God's creation, God paid the most attention to man's spirit, right? This is God's focus. This is God's focal point. And so we want to lay a foundation for this line for this whole week, to be impressed with our spirit. So we realize, okay, all things, all living things on the earth, right, they have a soul. And so you look at all these animals, and they're walking around, they're doing all these things, and they have a soul. And so if we, like living, we're living beings, if we live without our spirit and we just live by our soul with our body, we're a beast. All we are just animals. Actually, if you think too much about it, you're like, nothing really separates me from another animal. I'm the same as a dog. I'm, you know. But actually, it's very good we're here. We have a spirit.
Amen.
Okay, but then there, we realize, you know, you talk about like Vikings, all these people. They're like, they were beasts. They definitely didn't. I don't know if they ever touched their spirit. Anyway, they were beasts. But then you have some people, right? The Vikings, they went to England, they pillaged and all these things. The people in England, they may not have been regenerated, but they used one part of their spirit, right? They used their conscience. So they lived by their conscience. They had right and wrong. I don't kill people. I don't steal from people. I don't lie to people. This is very good. This is a higher standard of living. But then when we get regenerated, right, our whole spirit gets regenerated.
Amen.
So not only is our conscience functioning, but we begin to experience the function of our spirit in our fellowship with God.
Wow.
So this is the next point, I think. Maybe I'm going a little too fast here, but it's okay. Hallelujah. We have three parts of our spirit.
Amen.
The three parts of our spirit under Roman numeral 4. This is kind of where my burden is. So let's read Roman numeral 4 together. Within man's spirit, there are three functions: the conscience, the fellowship, and the intuition. Okay, so then we have this matter of the conscience. Like all people, they use their conscience. Unless they don't, then they're like a beast. So it's good. We all learned when we were kids, you know, when mom tells you to clean your room, and then she asks you later if you did it, and you say no, but you say yes, but you really didn't. And inwardly, you're like, I got away with it. But your conscience is condemning you. So it's good. We all have a conscience. But then when we get regenerated, we have all three functions of our spirit that begin to function, to act, to become active within us. And so not only is our conscience condemning us about doing this or doing that, but then we begin to have this matter of an enjoyment of the Lord, the fellowship with the Lord. And then we begin to have this experience of our intuition. The intuition of the Lord is this matter of God speaking to us. So, okay, so then I want to talk a little bit about this matter of exercising our spirit, right? People say exercise your spirit. It's very hard, because then somebody's like, Daniel, exercise your spirit.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen. That's what I thought too. And it's good. We call on the Lord, and it helps us to engage our spirit. Our spirit begins to be exercised. But actually, this matter of the exercise of our spirit is really related to these three parts of our spirit. Okay, so I'll go back. So if you've never heard about your spirit, this matter of our spirit is so crucial to our living. So in my experience, when I got regenerated when I was 13, it was right before I went into high school after 8th grade, I got regenerated. And then I was good for about a month, I think. I was like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to obey my parents. I'm going to tell other people not to do bad things. Anyway, this is really funny. And then it didn't last very long. I just went right back to the way that I was before I got regenerated. But then after I got regenerated, I went right into high school. And nobody really told me that I had a spirit and my spirit had functions. And I could touch my spirit, and the Lord was in my spirit. The Lord was one with my spirit. And even I could be this person that in my being I knew I wanted to be by my spirit, by walking according to my spirit. So I didn't know any of that. And so my experience in high school was very miserable, you know. It's interesting. I have these vivid memories when I was young and in high school, some nights laying in my bed and just weeping. I'm just like crying out. I don't know who I was crying out to. I'm like, what am I doing? What is the meaning of my life? I don't know, have you ever had that experience? I mean, that was so vivid to me, just realizing, what am I doing? What do I need to do with my life to be happy? I didn't realize at the time, but my spirit was active, and I'm asking myself, why can't I be like everybody else? Why can't I just go sin like all my friends do? Why can't I just go to all these, you know, places, all these things? I didn't realize that in my spirit, there is a struggle against my flesh, right, against my soul. Okay, but then when I became, you know, when I went to college, I talked to these brothers, and they said, you have a human spirit, and in your spirit is the Lord, and the Lord is telling you things. The Lord is leading you, and the reason you can't go to all these places is because the Lord is not going to those places. Then it became, okay, wow, this is why I am the way that I am. And my spirit has a conscience, my spirit has fellowship, my spirit has intuition. But then it kind of like, it just kind of stopped there. And maybe that's where you're at right now. It's like, I have a spirit, and it's good. When I go to the meetings, I say, oh, Lord Jesus, it's really good, and I'm happy, and I get into the flow. And this is wonderful. We release our spirit, and the Lord, he cleanses us. We get washed, and we're enjoying. But how about in our daily life, right? In our daily walk with the Lord, especially after we leave this training. I mean, several of you have been here before, and then you go home, you go to your job, you know, whatever it may be, you go to your dog, you go to your cat, you go to your friends, and then you just kind of feel like you're going down, and you're like, I need to exercise my spirit, I need to exercise my spirit. Okay, this matter of the exercise of our spirit has to do with these functions of our spirit, and that's why this message, I feel like, is so crucial. We need to see the importance of our spirit for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Why don't I express God? Why don't I represent God? Why is my spirit so low? Why can't I feel the flow, right? I didn't mean to rhyme. But, you know, you have this struggle. You're like, why can't I touch the Lord? Why can't I have this morning revival time? Why can't I read, you know, this, that, the other thing? There are several things to do with that. But firstly, this matter of the exercise of our spirit, it deals with our conscience, right? Okay, so it's a matter of our conscience. First, the conscience, it deals with, it says, the conscience enables us to know what God justifies and what he condemns. So all of us have had these experiences with our parents, what to do, what not to do, and then when we do it and we're not supposed to do it, and then we lie about doing it, and then it condemns us. But then with the Lord, right? You say something to somebody. You yell at somebody. With me, it's I honk my horn at the guy who takes a right turn on red, and I have the right of way. The Lord's like, you shouldn't have done that. I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. My conscience condemns me. It's a bad testimony. But then there are bigger things, and especially this matter of the experience of life, dealing with our past, dealing with sins, right? Our conscience, as we're enjoying the Lord will bring up things. He said, you stole that, right? Maybe you guys don't steal anything. I stole stuff, and the Lord touched me about it, and I had to deal with that thing. But I let it go for a while, just kind of like pushed it down. It's like, yeah, but my problem was it was a lot of money. I was like, I don't have the money. I don't want to use that money for that. But that hindered, that kind of like depressed my spirit. So in my morning revival time, low. Afternoon times, low. Go to the meetings. You know, it's good. The saints are there. Their enjoyment keeps me up. But then after the meetings, I'm low. What's the problem? The problem is I haven't dealt with my conscience. I haven't exercised this matter of clearing these things up with my conscience, right? The Lord condemned that action that I did, so now I need to deal with it, right? Okay, so then once you deal with these things, then our spirit is released. We're released from within, and we can enjoy the Lord. We can enjoy the flow in our spirit. And then this brings us to our fellowship, the fellowship in our spirit. Timer. I don't have the password. The fellowship in our spirit, right? This is to do with, this enables us to contact God, worship God, amen, and commune with God. Amen. Right? John 4:24 says, God is spirit, right, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truthfulness. this verse also shows us why our spirit is so crucial, because God is spirit, and he gave us a spirit, and those spirits are congruent. And when they meet, there's joy, there's fellowship, there's worship, right? So this the fellowship of our spirit, we need to learn how to exercise the fellowship of our spirit, living by the fellowship in our spirit, living by the enjoyment of the Lord in our spirit. Maybe in our daily life, where we're going to school, we're doing things, and our friends are having a conversation about a TV show on Netflix. There's some really nasty things on there. Oh, Lord Jesus. And you enter into that conversation, right? And then immediately you just feel the fellowship of my spirit just, it's gone. My conscience isn't condemned because there's no law against not watching Netflix, right? There's no law that says don't watch Netflix. But then there, the fellowship, the Lord is not there. He's not in that talk about these things. Maybe it's a really good show. Maybe it's about these, you know, these different things. And it's not bad, it's not sinful, right? But then the fellowship in our spirit just stops. Do we pay attention to that? Do we say, oh, my fellowship just stopped with the Lord, so I need to get out of this conversation? That is an exercise of the Spirit in our daily living, right? There are a lot of examples. Okay, but then also this matter of the intuition. It says, the intuition gives us a direct sense of God. Do you want a direct sense of God?
Yeah.
I do. And a direct knowledge from God. So this matter of the intuition, this is like God's instant speaking to us. And a lot of times, my intuition, it tells me, no. I'm at Costco and I want to buy this really cool thing. The Lord just says, no. And I was like, okay. Then I pick it up and I walk around the store for a while. But then still in me, it's just like, no, put it back. And there have been times, there have been times when I just went ahead and I just bought it. It's like, I really want this thing, Lord. It's a sweet deal. I'm just going to get it. And I don't tell my wife that I have this feeling in me. But then we get to the exit, and I'm like, Anne-Marie, I just have this feeling from the Lord. I shouldn't have bought this thing. That's why I love Costco, because you can just return it. They don't ask any questions. But if they were to ask me a question, I'd be like, the Lord told me not to buy this thing. So this, you know. But for you, you know, maybe it's a positive thing. The Lord tells you, hey, go speak to that guy. Or you're in your class with your friends, right? I don't know. I was in business class, so we always had to do group projects, always on team projects. And when I was on fire for the Lord, the first thing I would tell them is like, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Because everybody talks to each other like, so what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? It's like, oh, I'm in this Christian club and I just love the Lord Jesus. They're like, huh, that's weird. But eventually they would ask me questions and things like that. But that's also a very positive function of our intuition. And I've had experiences, and I'm sure you've had experiences, where the Lord tells you to do something, go talk to somebody, you're like, I don't really want to do that. I don't want to talk to that guy. I don't want to talk to that girl. I'm going to look weird. And then you feel in your spirit it's deadened, right? It's just low again. You're like, oh, Lord, please forgive me. Lord, forgive me. But the best way to exercise your spirit at that point would be just to go talk to that person and just flow out. And then in the exercise of that, the exercise of obeying the Lord in our intuition, it releases this flow in us. And then spontaneously, you know what happens? We fulfill God's purpose. We express God, right, to that person that we talk to. We represent God to that person. So in all these things, it's just wonderful, this matter of our spirit. So let's read Roman numeral 5 all together. The spirit of man is for man to worship God, generated by God, and to be joined to God, that man may walk and live in an organic union with God to fulfill God's purpose. Amen. My favorite word on here is this word receive. That's not in that point, but we need to receive God. When we come to the Lord in our morning times and our afternoon times, we need to practice to receive God. But it's good we realize, okay, I need to take care of my spirit. The Lord is in my spirit. The Lord is one with me in my spirit. So we take care of our conscience, we take care of our fellowship, and we take care of our intuition.
Amen.
And then when we come to the Lord, there will be more flow. There will be more enjoyment of the Lord. And then actually, spontaneously, this will be for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. So let's learn how to tune our spirit, this receiver that we have from God, to receive God. I'm still impressed with Brother Dennis. I was like, he says, there's all kinds of music in this room. I said, he's crazy. I have no idea what he's talking about. I can't hear anything. Right? And then he brought out that radio, and he turned it on. I was like, whoa. And then I thought about it. I was like, there's classical music. There's all kinds of music. Okay, in this room, there is God.
Amen.
Right? Everywhere you go, there is God.
Yes.
You can't get away from God. But we have to use our spirit to get God.
Amen.
We have to use the right receiver.
Right.
Anyway, I think I'm done. I think we have five more minutes. Yeah, that's good. Let's read the focus all together.
We need to see the importance of our spirit
in God's creation. And we need to see that God created our spirit in order that we might contact Him, receive Him, worship Him, live Him, fulfill His purpose, and be one with Him.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, we have a few minutes if some want to just stand up where they are and just speak something that they appreciated from the speaking.